This morning I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. This morning I want to expose you, as we've already done the video, some of the ministry opportunities we have in this place called Ukraine, with students from coming from Belarus and Moldova. We have over 30 students now coming from the country of Belarus. Lukashenko, who is the president of Belarus, is going to make Stalin look like a choir boy if he continues to be able to operate. And some of our finest men are coming from the country of Belarus. And I just thank God for the opportunity to minister and be able to train these young men from these different places. We also have young ladies in our school, as you saw in the video. And we kind of operate with the philosophy that we want our young men to marry young ladies who have the same philosophy as they do. And we've been very successful. I think we have more young couples that have gotten married than new graduates at the Slavic Baptist Institute. And I tell them it's like a disease. I said, hey, no more marriages till you spend at least 4 years. In fact, we had a young lady get married third year. She was in our school. And her mother said, all right, you can get married, but there are no children till you graduate from the Slavic Baptist Institute. She just graduated, made it through, no children, but I'll guarantee it ain't going to stay that way. That's just not the way they do things in Ukraine. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Years ago, when my wife and I started in evangelism, we used to sing some songs, and we even made a record. It didn't hit the top 10,000, so we never made another one. And if you heard me sing, you'd understand why. But we used to sing a song called Living by Faith. And I believe there are three key words you might use in talking about missions. One of those words is sacrifice. You can't really be involved in missions and talk about missions and really without understanding that sacrifice is involved. I think a key word is submission or surrender. You're going to have to be willing to surrender if you're going to go to another country and serve God in a culture that's not yours. But you must let that culture become part of you, and you become part of it if you're going to serve as a missionary in some of the regions beyond. And I believe the third word that we ought to use if we're going to talk about missions is the word faith. And so I want to deal with that. I want to talk about some of the results of faith, and then I want to tie it together with a personal testimony of what happens when you do live and continue in faith according to God's will in your life. First of all, we can say, I think without doubt, that faith results in conversions. You and I were saved by faith. We didn't get saved by being baptized. We didn't get saved by joining a church. We didn't get saved by being a Baptist. We got saved because by faith we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. The Bible says, therefore, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith. And I know this is very simple. We all understand that we're saved by faith. Not only that, when you stand to preach the pulpit or preach the Word of God behind the pulpit or teach a Sunday school class or give a testimony, you're doing it by faith, believing that folk are going to come to Christ and they, by faith, will receive Christ as their personal Savior. You know, the Bible in four different places talks about the fact that the just shall live by faith. And a lot of people like to use that as a salvation message. It's not a salvation message. The just shall live by faith. And young people, as you begin your training, and some of you are not so young, but as you prepare to go into God's Word, if you cannot accept and learn and acknowledge and incorporate into your life totally and completely faith, you never will accomplish all that God wants you to accomplish. And faith is not some great deep theological thought. Faith is nothing more than obeying God. Just taking God at His Word. And being willing to step in the cold water. Be willing to dive in head first. Be willing to do whatever the Spirit of God leads you to do. Now, I understand that there's a thin line between faith and foolishness. But I've never met anybody that had too much faith. And the truth is, if you will take the mustard seed, as small as it is, the Bible says if we just have that much faith, we can remove mountains. And there's nothing that can keep you from doing what God wants you to do if you will do it by faith. And so faith is a powerful, powerful tool. It's just something that every one of us ought to incorporate into our lives totally and completely. Faith results in convergence. Let me notice with you, secondly, faith results in confidence. Or maybe we might use the word courage. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 4, and you can go through the entire chapter, but let me just touch a few verses here. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Number 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham. And we can go through this great chapter, this hall of faith, as many as referred to it. And the truth is, these men accomplished great things because they had anemic faith. Huh? No. These men exercised faith in their lives and they were able to accomplish great things. They're remembered because of their faith. And when you have the kind of faith you ought to have as a child of God, you have the courage, you have the confidence to do what God wants you to do. There are a lot of people, a lot of Christians, who never accomplish what they ought to accomplish, what God wants them to accomplish, because they're not willing to step out by faith. The truth is, you know, this school, you have all kinds of evangelists in you. Your president is an evangelist. Many of the young men have gone out of the school as evangelists. And as an evangelist, you go into a local church, and the pastor gets up and says, now, evangelist brother so-and-so comes by faith. He doesn't have a salary. We take care of his travel expense, but we're going to give him an offer. He comes by faith. I've never figured out why it's right for a pastor to have a salary. It's right for a youth pastor to have a salary. It's right for missionaries to have an income. But the evangelist is supposed to do it by faith. But now I'll tell you something. They experience things that nobody else experiences because they're doing it by faith. Listen, the more you exercise faith in your life, the stronger your faith's going to become. And if you never exercise that faith, you'll be anemic, you'll be a wimp, if you please, when it comes to your spiritual life, if you don't walk and live by faith. Now, I've often said, have you ever noticed how easy it is to have faith for somebody else? You know, somebody comes to you for counsel and you say, well, brother, you just got to have faith. You got to do this. But when you're in that valley, all of a sudden, you know, that faith begins to, you think it's disappeared. But the truth is, as a Christian, you and I can do great things if we will just by faith say to the mountain, be thou removed. Now, I've not known anybody recently to say, be thou removed to a mountain. But here's the thing. It's the principle. In Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22, it talks about this very thing, about the mountain, be thou removed. If God wants me to do something, God can make a tunnel through that mountain. God can put an elevator that gets me over the top of that mountain. God can make a road around that mountain. God can give me wings so I can fly over the mountain. Listen, if it's God's will, if I'll do by faith what I ought to do. Listen, some of you struggle about how you're going to get through college. Try it by faith and see how much further you get. By faith, you have the courage to attack the den of iniquity. You have the ability to go to that unsaved man that it makes you tremble at the prospect of witnessing you. But by faith, you can get done what God wants you to do. I want you to notice the third thing. Faith results in conversion. Faith results in confidence. Faith results in convictions. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance or assurance of things hoped for, the evidence. And that word might be rendered convictions. The conviction of things not seen. See, faith is able to see things that you can't see with ordinary eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when you're doing what you ought to do by faith, you have the conviction that you're doing what's right, and you have the conviction to stand where you ought to stand. And though others might look at you and think you're just a little bit, you know, the porch light flickers or, you know, whatever it might be, you do it because you're convicted of the fact that by faith, this is God's will for your life. We read about men who do great exploits for God, and they do it because they have the conviction that by faith, that's what God wanted them to do. When we'd been in Ukraine for 4.5 years, in fact, it was the very trip that Brother Beal was with us on. Two of my graduates who had become co-pastors of the church where the school was came to me and said, "Brother Cadwell, your position on eternal salvation is creating a problem in our church." And nobody in the church knew it was a problem, but these men did. And we had told them when we started the school, "We know we disagree on this matter of eternal salvation, but we are going to teach it in the school. If a student goes through for 4 years and still doesn't believe in eternal salvation, believes you can lose salvation," I said, "that's your prerogative to believe what you want to believe, and I'll fight for your right to believe what you want to believe, but in our school, we're going to teach what the Bible says about eternal salvation." That was on Thursday. By Friday noon, we packed up, and one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life was to walk away from that place and not knowing where we were going to relocate the school. And when we made that move, we lost 35 to 40 students. We'd made several changes because of cultural reasons. I'd always capitulated when they came to me and said, "Our culture mandates this, and as long as it didn't violate a Bible principle, there's no problem." Now, when they come to me and say, "I need to drink wine in communion," then that violates a biblical principle, and I disagree with that culture. And I said, "When you come to me and tell me that my doctrine is wrong, you've got a tiger by the tail." And so we left. God opened another door for us. And in a few minutes, I'll tell you the rest of the story. But the truth is, if you're going to do it by faith, faith gives you the strength to stand on those convictions that God's given you from His Word. And you make sure your convictions are Bible-based, not just a preference or a personal feeling about something. Then, notice with me this morning that faith results in continuance. Now, being a preacher, we have to have alliteration. Do you understand that? And so this is the best word I could put into faith results in continuance. What do I mean? I mean when you're doing what you're doing by faith, you keep on doing it. You don't throw in the towel. You don't quit. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13 of this chapter, Hebrews. These all died in faith. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died. What's that say? That says these men who were living by faith, the very fact that they're recorded in this faith chapter, they had this faith and they lived by this faith until they died. They didn't start out by faith, they continued in their faith. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 23 that we're to continue in faith. The Bible says in Colossians 2 and verse 5 that we're to be steadfast in our faith. Colossians 2 and verse 7, he says that we're established in our faith. Faith is to continue. Now, preachers can come to your school and they can preach wonderful things and, you know, we get all charged up and say, boy, that's right, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. But you don't just start the race. You got to finish the race. That's when the rewards come, when you finish the race. I got saved, just like you, by faith. I went to Bible college by faith. I didn't have parents that had money to put me through college. I had to put myself through college. And I liked it so well I crammed 4 years into 5.5. But I told the folk last night I loved Greek so well I took freshman Greek 3 times. But I finished! I put myself through by, obviously with God's help, by faith. I went into evangelism. I spent 3 years pastoring. I wanted pastoral experience. I wanted to know how the church operated, the needs of a local church before I went into evangelism. And Dr. Bill Rice, this is Bill the Third's father, and sitting down and talking with me, he said, Brother Caldwell, if you have 3 to 6 meetings your first year, you'll be fortunate. And things used to be that way. I think things have changed a little bit. But my first year, I had 17 meetings. And folks, when you've been raised in Iowa and all your contacts are in Minnesota and Wisconsin, went to school in Minnesota, it wasn't easy always to get meetings. And, of course, if you had a meeting, if somebody said amen, you're on your way to revival. Those old Lutherans and Catholics, when they got saved. No doubt about their getting saved, but they just weren't as expressive as folk in North Carolina. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And if you had 2 or 3 walk down and get saved, you had a gully washer. But I'd pick up the sword of the Lord and I'd read about this evangelist that had 198 saved. This one had 232 saved. And I'd get on my face before God and weep and cry and say, God, why can't I see this? God gave me a verse many years ago in Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? I didn't answer to the sword of the Lord. I didn't answer to an ecclesiastical hierarchy. I just had to do what God wanted me to do and be faithful. I could read my Bible every day. I could pray every day. I could do what He... And by faith, I just kept on doing it. 1990, December, I and three other evangelists and some pastors made a survey trip to the former Soviet Union. We were in the city of Lviv, city of about a million people in western Ukraine. I stood on the very place where Lenin's statue had been the week before. It had been torn down. And I stood in that very place. We sang some songs. A fellow with us played the trumpet. It wasn't long before we had 300-400 people gathered around. And through an interpreter, I stood and I preached. And folk responded to the gospel invitation. As I stood there, and then going to prisons and universities and colleges, city halls, wherever we could go, we preached to hundreds of people and give an invitation. See 100, 150, 200. 250 people walk down an aisle and say, "We're sinners." And fall on their face and cry out for God to save them. I used to feel sorry I wasn't born in the days of D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday, where they have hundreds of folks saved. God just said, "Neil, cool your jets. Just wait. Just wait until the time is right." And then it seemed like every time I made a trip to Ukraine, pastors would say, "Brother Cadwell, it sounds like we need to start some schools over there." In fact, Brother Camp was with us on one of those early trips in the far east of Russia. And there was no doubt there was a need for schools. And I went to two different groups that the men had come out of that part of the world and had ministries. And we went to them and said, "We'll do anything. Try and get a school started." And they just, Dr. Ed Nelson, whom I'd made two trips with, said, "Neil," he said, "why don't you just go into Ukraine and start a school?" They say when you tell somebody to start a school, that's what you wish on your enemies. But, so 11 years ago, we started the Slavic Baptist Institute with 22 students, as was mentioned on the video. A year ago, last November, we finished our 10th year. And I could have come to the end of 10 years, and I told them, I said, "By God's grace, I'm going to spend 10 years here. And at the end of 10 years, we'll see what God's will is." And in that 10 years, we had 70 graduates. And we had folk all over Ukraine and Belarus and Moldova working in villages, planting churches, doing the work of an evangelist. And I could have quit and said, "It's time to go home. I'm 65 years old. All these trips on the plane are for the birds. I just finished my 58th trip going over there." But February the 11th year came and we went over. May we went back. And in May of this year, some men came to my office. They said, "Brother Cadwell, you've been coming to Ukraine for 10 years. We can tell that you love the Ukrainian people." And these men represented a group of 107 independent churches, independent Baptist churches in Ukraine. When we started the school and we had that fracture, I was ostracized. Men would get up in the preachers' conferences and say, we need to get rid of this American devil. We don't need him in Ukraine. And so I just stayed basically in Western Ukraine, worked with a few places, and God bless the school. We began to get 50, 60, 70 students again. And these men said, and I don't have time to go into all the details, but these men came and said, Brother Cadwell, we want to work with you. I said, I appreciate the fact you want to work with us. And I said, I'll work with you if you'll work with me. I said, we've got honesty. We've got to have integrity. We've got to have accountability. And we now have cemented a relationship with these 107 churches plus churches that I'd already been working with in these Belarus, Ukraine, and Moldova. And when these men said, we want to work with you, folks, I got excited. Because now just having a few churches where we draw our students, I've got all of Ukraine. 107 independent Baptist churches across Ukraine where we can draw students from. Our student body is going to mushroom. It means that we're going to have church planting opportunities like we never dreamed of. We're going to have, instead of maybe two or three camps where we might have 200 or 300 young people, this summer, Lord willing, we're going to have 3,000 young people in camps, unsaved young people in camps, that we're going to see them preached, hear the Word of God, and we're going to see literally hundreds and hundreds of young people come to Jesus Christ. God's opening the door for us to, over there, they, instead of having, building a lot of big orphanages, they have family orphanages. We have two pastors. We're going to put additions on their home, and we're going to be able to help them do that. And they will have 10 orphans in each one of those homes. A pastor in Odessa, his daughter had been raped. She was killed. And so they said, well, we'll bring an orphan into our home. A girl. They raised her. She got saved. She got married to a young man who's now a pastor. And this orphan is serving as a pastor's wife in a village where they're preaching the gospel. The opportunities, and they just mushroom. They continue to grow and grow and expand. I could have quit at the end of 10 years. And we could have said, to God be the glory, Slava Boga, which means praise the Lord. But we said, we're going back for the 11th year. And now God has opened up opportunities all over Ukraine like we never dreamed of. Opportunities that I have to be honest, it scares me. Because this, I was going to say, this little Iowa farm boy, it's not a little Iowa. This farm boy who came out of Iowa never dreamed we'd be doing what we're doing. But I'm telling you, young people, you hear me. By faith! See, I can't stand on my head and gargle peanut butter. I can't yodel. I can't, you know. I don't have anything to offer God. But I can be faithful. And I can live by faith. When I was a student in Bible college, my senior year, I used to lay on that top bunk. Man, I was ready to graduate. Been there almost 5.5 years. I was ready to graduate. And I'd lay there and I'd read all these books, George Whitfield, Wesley's, Spurgeon. I mean, I was ready to go out and turn the world upside down. Some of the greatest revivals the world has ever known took place on that top bunk, I'd lay there, man, I could preach. Oh, could I preach? And folk, huge crowds, and folk get saved by the hundreds, and great revivals. Just keep doing what God has called you to do, and you don't throw in the towel. A friend of mine called me about a year ago. He plans to retire in April this year. He said, Brother Cattle, when are you going to retire? I said, what are you talking about? At 66 years of age, God has given me more opportunities to get more people saved than ever before in my life. And I just ain't fixing to quit just yet. And you just do it by faith.